The Gospel is written in Luke, chapter 19, verse 1, to be found on page 1053 in the Church Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Just as we remain standing, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this account of his meeting with Zacchaeus. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit, that we too might be like Zacchaeus. Lord, give us expectant hearts, that we are about to hear you speak to us, as you already have done in our reading. Lord, may we not be casual about this moment. May we not be dismissive. May we not treat it as entertainment, but as hearing your living words. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. I once found myself watching a video, and the video started with a question, or actually a challenge. Count the number of times the people wearing white T-shirts pass a ball amongst themselves. And then there was a group of three people wearing black T-shirts passing a ball between themselves, intermingled with three people wearing white T-shirts passing a ball between themselves. And I thought, this is okay, I'm quite good at counting and quite good at distinguishing the white T-shirt people from the black T-shirt, so I counted carefully. And then at the end it said, so how many times was the ball passed between the people wearing white T-shirts? And I said out loud what the answer was. And then the screen went blank, and then the next question came up. It said, did you notice the gorilla? I said, what? And they showed the same video again, and there were the same people doing exactly what they had. It was the same video. And then in the middle of it, a man in a black gorilla suit walked across, stood facing the camera, beat his chest, and then walked on. And I didn't see it. And I felt such a muppet. You know how you think that's really for other people not to notice those things, but I felt such a wally. Well, in a sense, a story, or no, in fact, the account of Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus is a bit like that. There are things that we are looking for when we read it, if we've read this account lots of times before. And so there are things which jump out at us. A sycamore fig tree, a short man in his robes climbing up and getting his robes snagged on the branches, a tax collector, a reviled man of his time. And then Jesus saying that salvation has come to this house. And then we think, yes, it's a wonderful account of how the Lord's salvation comes to those who don't deserve it. It's a wonderful story. But there is a gorilla who walks through and we often miss. And that gorilla is, I think, verse 8. It says this, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. In the middle of this story, there is an act of the most incredible and extravagant generosity. So let's unpick that verse a little bit more. Now, of course, some of what Zacchaeus says at that moment is about making right what he has done wrong. Tax collectors in the ancient world in Israel were a very unpopular group. They were seen as being collaborators with the occupying forces. They collected your taxes so that the Roman army could be paid in order to keep you oppressed. And to be a tax collector marked you out as an outcast and a sinner. And so it attracted people, by and large, who were ruthless and who were in it for money. And who were also untouchable and therefore often corrupt because they had the protection of the occupying forces. But now that Zacchaeus has found Jesus or been found by Jesus, his life is turned around. And he sets to make what he has done wrong right. That's the first thing I want to look at. He says, if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now, that seems reasonable, a good response to his forgiveness. But actually, it goes beyond that, even that act. The law said what Zacchaeus should do. It says that if you ever cheated somebody out of some money, you should pay back what you had cheated them and then add 20% of the value. But Zacchaeus blows this out of the water. He doesn't just give back the amount he's cheated plus 20%. He gives back the amount he has cheated plus 300%. This isn't just about making right what he has done wrong. This is going so much further. This is looking to bless the people he's cheated. But that isn't even the half of it, quite literally. We then read this. Well, that fits the fact just before. I give half of my possessions to the poor. Imagine what that would mean for you. Think about all your possessions. Maybe you own a house. Maybe you own a car. All your white goods, all your electronic gadgets, your savings, your pension. And now imagine giving half of all of that away. What would that mean for you? It would probably mean moving house. Downsizing, moving to a cheaper area and perhaps a less appealing area. What would it mean for your car? Well, we'd have to sell our Zafira. And what could we buy for half the value of the Zafira? Well, not very much, as it turns out. What would it mean for our white goods? Which one would we get rid of? Would we get rid of the fridge freezer or the dishwasher? Then we've got to choose between the washing machine and the oven. What are we going to do? Think about our pension pot, giving half of that away. How will we manage? This is the most extravagant, amazing generosity. It's staggering. And how is Zacchaeus going to invest this half of money, this money that he has liquidated in order to make it available to give? He gives it to the poor. He makes himself poorer to make others richer. Now, most of us will probably think we're pretty generous people. By and large, if you ask anyone, are you generous? They don't often say no. It's funny, we all tend to think we're generous. But when we set ourselves against Zacchaeus, we realise we're really not. We're nowhere near his league of generosity. It is an extravagant and overwhelming generosity. But it isn't just extravagant and overwhelming, it is also surprising that Zacchaeus is so generous. Because we know that money really mattered to Zacchaeus before he met Jesus. He was willing to do a really unpopular, horrible job if only he could be rich. He was willing to do what was wrong, to cheat, if only he could be rich. He was willing to be hated and cast out, if only he could be rich. His wealth, his possessions were the thing he loved above all else. And suddenly, he lets them all go. Why? This is not normal behavior. Jesus makes it clear throughout his teaching, and Luke really brings this out, that rich people like Zacchaeus, and like most of us, tend not to be generous. If we go back in our passage to the previous chapter, we read about Jesus meeting a certain rich ruler. And he desperately wants what only Jesus can give. He wants eternal life. He faces death, and he's frightened of death, as he should be. And he wants to have a hope. And he comes to Jesus. But ultimately, he doesn't grasp hold of the eternal life. Why? Because his riches matter more to him. And he walks away. If you imagine, it's a bit like Jesus holds his hand out to that rich ruler and says, take my hand if you want to be saved, if you want eternal life. But the rich man, in order to take hold of Jesus' eternal life, must first let go of what he's holding, his riches, and grab hold of that hand. And he doesn't. And so Jesus said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Verse 24 of chapter 18. That means how hard it is for the rich to be saved, to have eternal life. He goes on to say this, indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Rich people like us don't tend to be generous like Zacchaeus. And then last Sunday, in what I thought was a fantastic word from God about the widow who gave just 2 coins compared to the wealthy people who gave great amounts, we learned that whilst at times us rich people can appear generous because we give more, in practice we're not, because we hold on to more. If you like, I was thinking about this, an illustration. Imagine that I earned £50,000 a year and you earned £20,000 a year. And you were to give £1 away. I would have to give £30,001 to be as generous as you. That's the message of the widow. Because generosity is in what we keep back and not what we give. So, it's not normal for rich people like Zacchaeus to do this. So why does he do it? Well, we discover in our passage that he does it because of overwhelming joy. He is so joyful as he gives money away. He gives as a response to what Jesus has done for him. Look at what Jesus has done for him. Jesus sought him out. Now, at first glance, that doesn't seem to be the case. It looks like Zacchaeus has done all the running, or strictly climbing. And it seems like Zacchaeus is hunting Jesus down. He goes to all this trouble. And often, actually, when someone is about to become a Christian, or they've just become a Christian, they might often think, yes, I found Jesus. But then when we look at this passage more deeply, we discover it's the other way round. Jesus found him. Look at it. As he goes along, Jesus is the one who looks up at the tree. Zacchaeus doesn't call out. Then he says, Jesus says, I must stay at your house today. In Luke's gospel, when Jesus says that, it's the sense of, this is why I have come. So he's saying, I came to earth, Zacchaeus, and I came to Jericho because I must stay with you. I had an appointment with you that you were not aware of. And then he finishes by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Zacchaeus was joyful because Jesus had sought him out. But also he was joyful because Jesus sat with him in his disgrace. Having a meal with somebody in the ancient world was a sign that you approved of them and that you wanted to be known as belonging with them. And so when Jesus had a meal with Zacchaeus and sat down at Zacchaeus' house, people were outraged. And they said this, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And the implication was that therefore he too must be a sinner. And that's what Jesus did. He sat with Zacchaeus in his disgrace and his shame and his outcastness. And he sits with us in our shame and our disgrace, our sin and our judgment. He supremely does it on the cross when he sits in our place instead of us. And then Jesus brought Zacchaeus in. Did you see that? He says, today salvation has come to this house. Why? Because Jesus is the salvation that has come to his house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. This man who you despise and revile is now part of my people, Jesus says. And he says that to us. I sometimes want to ask the question, how much should I give away? And I think if Zacchaeus were in the room, he would stand up and say, what do you mean should? Or ought? What not? This isn't duty. This is joy. How much do I want to give away in light of what Jesus has done for me? Zacchaeus' generosity is not dry duty, reluctant reward, but joyful gratitude. And ultimately, therefore, it is clear here that his joyful generosity is a sign of his salvation. It doesn't win his salvation. It isn't that somehow by giving away, Jesus now approves of him. He already has sat with him. Today, salvation has already come to the house. Jesus has already been. And when Zacchaeus hears criticism of Jesus, when he hears people saying he has gone to be the guest of a sinner, he boils over with grace. And he says, no, look at me. This is what Jesus does. He does sit with sinners, but he transforms them. And his generosity becomes a witness to who Jesus is. I just want to finish with this final question. Why aren't we like Zacchaeus? It can only be that we don't know Jesus' salvation. For some of us, we did discover Jesus' salvation. And we were overjoyed with it. And perhaps we still know it, but it has dulled. And Zacchaeus says, remember it. Remember it. Remind yourself of all that Jesus has done for you. Till you are so filled with joy, so full of excitement and peace and hope. How do we know whether we've reminded ourselves enough of it? Well, we'll see it in our generosity. But there is, for some of us, we will never have known Jesus' salvation. It's quite possible to come to church and not know Jesus' salvation, to have never known it. It's quite possible to have seen God at work in your life and to have never known Jesus' salvation. It's quite possible to have prayed regularly and seen the answer to prayers and never to have known Jesus' salvation. So the question is this, what is the thing holding you back from accepting Jesus' hand of rescue? What is the thing or things which you will not let go of so that your hands are free to grasp the joy and the wonder of his salvation? Let's pray. Father God, I just pray for one thing, that we might know the joy of the salvation that Jesus offers, and that we might discover the joy of reflecting his grace in our own generosity to those in need. We ask this in his name. Amen.